see the King of Glory dying for the lost. Oh, the awesome splendor of His cross, and that old cross will always testify. Died alone to make me free, and now what things were gained to me, I count for loss to own my Savior and the splendor of His cross. They cursed Jesus and dared Him to come down. As they gambled for His robe there on the ground. But God answered man's rebellion with His love. Come to the cross and through the blood. 10,000 angels stood at His command. Yet He cried, "Father, forgive them for their sin." Behold your Savior dying for the lost. Oh, the awesome splendor of the cross, and that old cross will always testify. For there my Savior died alone to make me free. And now what things were gained to me, I count for loss to own my Savior and the splendor of His cross.
Next to you, it says you need to walk and talk in the Spirit. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll turn with us over in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. I'll take a text to what feel the Lord has laid on our heart for this service. Tonight is a very familiar scripture, and it reads two ways, frontwards and backwards, and it means the same, and it just explains it a little better reading it backwards. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Read it backwards. This says like this: if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're not a son of God. Don't fool yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You tonight for who You are most of all. We thank You for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for these, Lord, that's here tonight that are led by the Spirit of God. Lord, I know because they're here. Lord, I thank You that so many have come back tonight from this morning's service, Lord. God, we didn't lose very many between the service, and I thank You for that, Lord. and I praise you for it. And I ask you to give them a special blessing this week, God. Father, because they learn to walk in your Spirit, be led by your Spirit, and you lead them into all truth. Lead us, Lord. Father, we might be your hands extended in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, what does it feel like to be a son or daughter of God? Amen. And answer them back, said, it feels good. I'm in the family. Amen. Look around at your brothers and sisters in here tonight. Hallelujah. We're in the family of God. Thank you, Lord. How wonderful. Here he's talking about being led by the Spirit of God. He don't drive us. God don't drive us. He don't make us. He told the disciples to follow me. And when someone is leading, we must follow the leader. Amen. We played follow the leader when we was little, and when we did not do what the leader did, we was out of the game. And it's no different in this game here called salvation, amen, that we follow the leader. We can be led in life to the right way or to the wrong way. Amen. There's things in this life that leads us to the right way or to the wrong way. In fact, everyone is led by something. Everyone. Everyone is led by something. Amen. Either it's the Spirit of God, or it's flesh, or lust, or self-will, or other people, or other things that is leading. But someone is leading. Everyone is led by something. Remember, James, it says that God tempts no man, but every man is drawn away when he is led of his own self. Amen. Of his own lust. Lust, he's following lust. But then the Word of God tells us that there's many ways of being led, but there's actually two categories of being led. Amen? And it all falls into two categories. There's many ways, but there's two categories. And they are found in Matthew's Gospel in the 7th chapter, in verse 13. Jesus himself said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that what? Say it. Leadeth to destruction. Now, I ask you, I wonder who is leading people this way. Leading, what is leading it into this category? And many that are led in this direction that go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which, say it, leadeth to life. Now the Spirit of God is leading here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Holy Ghost is going to lead us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. So we're led by the Holy Ghost unto life, and few that be that find it. So there's few brothers and sisters in the world. Amen. There's few in the family of God tonight. Few sons of God. There's not many sons of God all over this world. There's only a few according to the words of Jesus Christ. Not my own, Jesus' words. Now we're talking about tonight being led by the Spirit of God in our walk and in our talk. And I want to use some examples tonight to bring to light what the Lord would have us to understand the importance of being led by the Spirit. Look at the one back next to you and tell them, it's not all about you. It's about the kingdom. It's about pleasing God in our life. And it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God to accomplish what God would have accomplished in mind in your life. Look at this story here in Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. Very familiar scripture to go with the time of the season we're in now of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It said in verse 29, it says that it came to pass when he was come nigh unto Bethpage of Bethany at a mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering in you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say to him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had what? said unto them. And as they were loosed in the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they simply said, it didn't say simply, I did that. They said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. Over in the other Gospel of Mark, it talks about how that they wave palm branches. And it says, and when he was come nigh, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all with mighty works what they had done, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. That's why those stones are down there. When we quit praising him, them stones will cry out. Somebody's going to praise him. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, Brother Mike was talking about the cross that Jesus died on. And tell you what love is. Love is the Father seeing that seed sown in the ground. And that tree popped through the ground, knowing all the time it was growing that Jesus is going to die a cruel death on that tree. Amen. And he continued to let it grow. Amen. What love. Amen. We see here in this story that if we could be as this little donkey. Amen. First of all, someone had to lead him there. The Spirit of God has to lead us. We can't do it on our own. I walked for many years without the Holy Ghost leading me, and I made a mess of things. Can I get a witness? I need the Spirit of God leading me into the right places. That I will be in the right place at the right time. Amen? That donkey was in the right place at the right time when the Master had need of him. I want to be in that place. Amen? I want to be in the spot when the Lord needs me and he reaches for me. I want to be standing there, don't you? I want to be there. It's important to be led by the Spirit of God. It's so important. If we could ever realize the importance of being led by the Spirit of God, I don't believe none of us would ever leave our home in the morning till we got down on our knees and said, Lord, you have made this day and you know what you have for me to do, and I want you to lead me by your Spirit, and I want to do everything in this day that you have for me to do. Amen. If we really realize the importance of it. Speaking on that note, the importance of the things of God, Brother LaVon came back and looked. How many came and looked at the library tonight early? Got some participants. Thank you. Brother LaVon came by. I asked Sister Catherine, I said, did you have anybody come to the library yet? She said, no, ain't got a soul yet. And I walked out the door, and there comes Brother LaVon bouncing up through there. I said, hey, you got your customer. I believe she just wanted to shout. She's been up there for 3 Sundays. Ain't seen nobody. Amen. Had 3? 3 checked out. All right. All right. Praise God. And Brother Vaughn was looking around. He said, I've never been upstairs here. And he's looking at the office and classrooms and looking all around, you know, at this, what the Lord's blessed us with. I showed him a couple of rooms that was empty there, you know. I said, it used to be a classroom right here. And he said, you know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking about maybe if we could come about 9:30 on Sunday morning and pray. And I said, that sounds good. He said, we could probably use this room right here, couldn't we? I said, use any room you want. That'd be good right there, you know. And he said, what about Wednesday night? Church starts 7. We could come at 6:30, couldn't we? I said, yeah. I said, you want me to just now? I said, you head it up. He said, that'd be fine. So Wednesday night at 6:30, he'll be here in the back building. Back there upstairs in the second room is the prayer room, amen, the upper room. And he's going to start praying 30 minutes before each service, amen. 6:30 on Wednesday night, 9:30 on Sunday morning. Get here, go up there and get in there and pray for the service, amen. 5:30 on Sunday evening. All right, 5:30 on Sunday evening. All right, sounds good to me, don't it, y'all? Sounds good to me, don't it, y'all? I say sunrise service is 6:30, so that means y'all got to get here at 6 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. God is good, isn't he? That donkey was led to that place. Amen. That donkey was in the right place at the right time. Amen. That donkey had never had anyone set on him before. Yet when the Lord wanted to use him, he didn't rebel. He didn't say, I ain't never done that before. He just went ahead and did it. Amen. And when they loosed him and led him away, he was obedient and he followed. Amen. We need to just take a lesson from the little donkey. Don't you think? Amen. But I want you to look at this in two fashions. I want you to look at it that Jesus spoke every bit of this. He spoke and he says, I want you to go down to this city and you'll find a colt tied. And they told him what part of the city. He told them where to go. And you'll find a colt tied there whereon never a man has ever sat. Amen. That colt's master, the owner, said, when someone asks you, if someone asks you, you know, what you doing untying my colt, just say, the Lord hath need of him. Amen. In other words, that man will be understanding because that man too is led by the Spirit of God, because he heard the Holy Ghost say, I need you to carry your little donkey and I need you to carry him and tie him up at a certain place. And that man heard the Spirit of God and he was led by the Spirit of God. And somebody, maybe his wife said, what are you doing carrying that donkey down early in the morning and tying him up? Hush, woman, I can hear God. And the Lord told me to carry it down there and tie it up. That's all I know. I don't need to know what he's going to do with it. I don't need all kind of explanations. He just said, carry the donkey and tie it up. And I carried it and tied it up. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know nothing else. See, we people have to have all the answers. We're like children. You know, you start to ask your children to do something, they're going to say, why? 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 How come? How come? Huh? No, man. Just go do it. I said we're like children. You know, just do it. Just do it. Amen. And when the owners asked and said, what are you doing? He said, the Lord hath need of him. He already understood that. See, but when Jesus spoke this into the spirit world, was like electricity. It began to fortify into action and speaking into the hearts of men to accomplish what Jesus wanted accomplished. None of this had transpired until Jesus spoke it. He said, go down there and you'll find a colt. And see, and what happens? Like electricity, it starts moving into the hearts of men and brings all this stuff together by the words of Jesus Christ. That's why you said there's power in the words of your mouth. You're justified or condemned by the words of your mouth. Walking and talking in the Spirit. Jesus wasn't talking foolishness. He was talking according to the kingdom of God. He needed to ride that donkey in there. Why? Because in the Old Testament, it had been prophesied already that he'll come lowly and riding upon an ass. Amen. It had already been spoken of. So Jesus knew that the Spirit of God, he was according to the Word of God, he was in tune. And when he spoke it, it went into action and the donkey got put there and the disciples brought him and Jesus got on the donkey and rode into Jerusalem to die for me and you. How many believes that? You see, when you speak negative, it goes electricity and it starts setting into motion. Bad things. Amen. Glory. What if that owner had rebelled, not been led by the Spirit? What if he said, I ain't got time today. I got too much other stuff to be doing. Maybe Jesus wouldn't have rode in that day. Maybe he wouldn't have died on the cross. You see, it's important to be led by the Spirit. It's not all about me. It's about the kingdom of God and what will make. You know, sometimes you say, well, I just don't know why it's important I be at church. You don't understand the kingdom. You might have the key to the service. The preacher ain't always got it. So important. What if he didn't listen and be led by the Spirit of God? Oh, wow. Look at Luke's gospel, the 22nd chapter, verse number 8. It's when he's already in Jerusalem and he begins to tell his disciples because they needed a place to eat the communion, Lord's Supper. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? Amen. And he said unto them, behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. I believe when them words fell from Jesus' mouth, that there was a man that could hear God and was led by the Spirit, and all of a sudden he had a great desire to go get some water from the well. For some reason, I got to go get this water. I forgot about it, but I just remember, I got to go get this water. And maybe somebody says, won't you get it later? Says, no, I've got to get it now. I feel this great urge to go get it now. You see why it's important to be led by the Spirit of God? I've got to do this now. You don't understand. I've got to do it now. What if he had just sat there and said, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And the disciples came down and they looked for this man carrying a pitcher of water and they didn't find him. But yet he was led by the Spirit of God. Amen. When it fell from the mouth of Jesus, it started into action. In the spirit world, it started into the hearts of men. Holy Ghost leading this man to go get a pitcher of water. And he carried this pitcher of water. And he led, and he walked right into this certain house. And those men knew which house to go into. Why? Because Jesus had already said here. Look, let me read the rest of it. And you shall say unto the goodman of the house, the owner, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples, O God? And he said, he shall show you a large room. Listen to this word, furnished. He said, there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. In other words, the Spirit of God began to work on this owner's house, on his heart, and move him to prepare this room that the Lord had need of. And he put everything in there that they need, and he made it ready. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he was led by the Spirit of God to do the things of God. Why? How do you know what to preach? I'm led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God shows us what to do, how to live, how to walk, how to talk, how to act. Don't think the silly things to the world that you do and they laugh at you. Mind them not. Listen to the Spirit of God and let him lead you into greater things. Glory. Can you imagine having a house that the Lord would say, make ready me a room? Huh? Well, he said that to every one of our homes, and every one of our hearts, and every one of our lives. Prepare ye. John the Baptist said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make room in your life for the Lord. Glory to God. What if the man that went for the water said, I'll go later? What would have happened? What if the good man, the owner, had been listened to? Had not been listening to the Spirit of God. Amen? That was telling him that two men are going to come and ask you for this place. What if he had not had it prepared? But he did. Like the Bible said, be instant in season and out. Be prepared. Be ready to preach and teach. Be ready at all times. Amen. He says over in Romans in the 8th chapter, verse number 28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them. They come together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When we speak, our words are power. And when we speak under the anointing of God, listen to the Spirit of God, and our words are according to his words, in line with the word, I'm telling you, everything comes together just like we speak it. Amen. There's been times in your life and in my life that probably we don't even realize that things that we spoke, didn't realize that it came together that way. I remember one night, Brother Walker hadn't seen his boy in a year or two. He was on drugs and lived way off somewhere up North Carolina somewhere. Didn't know where he was at, hadn't heard from him, hadn't talked to him on the phone, didn't know if he was alive or dead, didn't know nothing. Been over a year. He came up and he said, Brother Dave, I heard from my son, and I think it was over a year. Hey, I don't even know where he's at. I don't even know if he's alive. So I'd love to hear from my son. We prayed for him. The Spirit of God spoke through, and he says, by Tuesday evening, you'll hear from your son. It was on a Sunday night. That Tuesday afternoon, Brother Walker said he heard a noise of a car out in his driveway. And he goes to the door and he looks out, and there's his son getting out of that car. Come on, church. Who are we tonight? I'm telling you, we're the representative of the kingdom of God. And our words carry weight. If we listen to what we say and understand what we say and line it up with the word of God. I'm not talking about, I'll say, well, by this time tomorrow I'll have $1 million. No, I'm talking about the word of God. Line it up with the word. What did he say? He said in Mark's gospel in the 16th chapter, it's the same place in Acts in the first chapter where he was caught up, and he told them to go down to Jerusalem and tarry. And he says, and they went forth, the Lord went with them, confirming his word. When our words are his words, he confirms that word with power. Amen. Sit around and say, woe is me, all you want to. And you're going to be woe is me. You better speak the words of power. Amen. Glory to God. You know the story in the book of Acts of Philip. Was an evangelist. Philip was a mighty man of God in the book of Acts. He was running a revival in the city. And an angel of the Lord said in verse 26 of the 8th chapter, said, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now here's a man running a revival in the city, no doubt, probably having success and big crowds and doing great things. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, I want you to go out there where there's nobody in an old desert and just go on down there. He didn't tell him what for. He said, just go. We'd have been saying, why? Why? What good that do? Who's out there? Who is it? What is it I need to do when I get there? I mean, we got to have all in details, don't we? Just go. Just go. Amen. What Jesus said, give no thought what you shall say. The Holy Ghost will give you the words to say when you get there. Amen. Don't rehearse it. And he arose and went, verse 27 says. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. He was riding along in a carriage. Verse 28 says, was returning and sitting in a chariot. Read the book of Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. See, he's led by the Spirit of God. When's the last time we've been led by the Spirit of God to do something like this? And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Read the rest of the story when you get home. But Philip was led by the Spirit of God. And here's this man that didn't know nothing about God. Look. He's 30 miles out of the city. He's traveling 30 miles out of the city, maybe headed that direction toward the city. I don't know, but here's Philip in the city, and there's a man that, and Philip had to go out 30 miles, so that man was probably 60 miles on down from the city, and said, just start walking that way. And he started walking that way, and he came upon this man in this chariot. Amen. And then the Spirit of God said, that's the one. Get up there close to him. Begin a conversation with him. Start talking to him a little bit. That man is inquiring about salvation, and you need to get in there with him. Come on. And he got up in that chariot and he began to talk about, he's talking about how that he was led to slaughter. He's talking about Jesus Christ as a lamb before his shears are dumb. Read it when you get home. And so Philip begins to explain to him who it is. It's Jesus Christ who died for our sins, that God raised from the dead. He's our Savior. And he says, after he talked to him and he accepted him, and he's talking to him about water baptism, and he said, hey, there's some water. Why can't we just be baptized right here? He said, come on. And they get down in the water, and they both went down in the water. They came up, and the Spirit of God picked old Philip back up and carried him in the Spirit back to town, 30 miles in the Spirit. What a ride that must have been. What a ride that must have been. Huh? I told you a time, y'all heard my dad say, I remember a time over at Brother Sister Brown's house. The old country farmer's house. They'd get together, prayer meeting, you know. And they was over there, and they was praying one for another. And one brother said, let's set Brother Whitfield down in this chair. And he got him to sit down in that chair. And they started praying for him, and the Holy Ghost hit. And man, just people went to running, shouting across the field, running across the field. And the Spirit just lifted my dad up in the air and went floating him down through in the air, floating him down the air. And I know what all y'all thinking is, yeah, right. My dad would tell it for years, you know, different churches he'd go to, you know, and the last church he pastored before he retired, he had told that. He'd been there. I mean, they believed him. They believed because that's Brother Whitfield. They believed him. But I believe, but help my unbelief. You don't want to say it? And right before my dad retired, one of the last services on a Sunday night, a guy came walking into church and sitting on the back pew. Didn't know my dad pastored there. He just passed by and came in. Sat down there, and at the end of the service, he stood up and he said, I didn't know Brother Whitfield was pastoring here. He said, but you better watch that man. Said, he'll float off on you. He was there that day. And he said he went floating down through there, and I went running after him. Daddy said, yeah, you thought the rapture had taken place and you wanted to ride. Come on now. Boy, that's back when the church was the church. I mean, that wasn't when the church was playing church. That's when the church was the church. Amen? Y'all remember the time Dad come down, he just set him down in his chair and just tell about things he's seen, you know. We got them on video, some on CD, but I remember one time there was this lady, and the doctors done sent her home. You're going to die. She's in bed. Couldn't get out of bed. She's going to die. Give up on her. Dad called the church to a fast. They started fasting. I don't know how long, I can't remember. But it came time. And Dad got up to preach. And the Lord spoke to him and said, it's time. He just stepped out of the pulpit. He said, y'all get in your cars and follow me. And the church loaded up and went over to the sister's house and walked into the house, her laying on that deathbed. And they gathered around, they began to pray for her. Daddy said when they left that house, that woman was standing holding that screen door waving by them. Hallelujah! God gave her life. That's back when the church was the church. You didn't have to beg them. There was the church. They didn't wrestle over a little trinket or something that would stand their way from serving God. They was to give it all up for God, sacrifice everything for God. Put God first. The church was the church that was led by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Oh, what would I have done to live in those days? Glory. Same God today as it was then. God said, if you'll get serious with me, I'll be serious with you. You be my people, I'll be your God. Amen. 1 Samuel in the 10th chapter is the time when Samuel's gone over and he's anointed Saul as king for Israel. Israel, you know, they've seen all these other countries got a king. They wanted them a king. You know, God was their king. But they wanted them a king. So God gave him a king. He said, go anoint Saul, Samuel. So he went over in the 10th chapter, verse 1, he anoints him. Verse number 3, it says, reading on, it says, then shalt thou go on forth from thence, from here, and thou shalt come to a plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee 3 men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying 3 kids, and another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee 2 loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. See, these men were led by the Spirit of God. Amen. When the prophet began to speak, it just started in motion. These men says, we got to go up now to Bethel. Amen. Why? Because we're going to meet somebody on the road. The Spirit of God is leading us. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is working, leading, trying to lead us in the paths of sinners, if you will, to correct their way. Amen. God is trying to lead His church to be a force in this world to seek and to save them or lost. But we're not led by the Spirit of God. Verse number 5, it says, after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where there's a garrison of Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from a high place with a psaltery and tabret and pipes and harps before them. And they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. And thou shalt prophesy unto them, and shalt be turned into another man. You see, Saul, in the condition you are, you're not fit to be a king. In the condition you are, you cannot be a leader of God's people. You've got to be changed into another man. Hallelujah. Amen. Saul could have chose to go a different direction, but he didn't. He went exactly like Samuel told him to do, to go to this place. And he met those men just like it said. In verse number 9, it says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. According to the words of Samuel, he spoke those words and it came into action and it happened just like he said. God spoke it and it happened. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Did he not? He said, let there be light, and all of a sudden in the spirit of it, there was light. Why don't we understand the power of our words? Jesus looked at that fig tree after he run ahead to try to get some figs, get ahead of them little fisher boys. They'd eat them up. And he run ahead and got there quick first. And there was no figs. What did he say? No man shall eat fruit from thee thenceforth forever. He didn't touch it, just spoke to it. Went on in to the temple, talked to them for a while, came back out a few hours later, and they walking by, and the disciples say, oh, look at this fig tree. That thing has withered. What you expect? Why sometimes things in our life withered? Why is it not prospering? Could it be our words? How many believes this stuff? Look at 1 Kings 17, chapter verse 1. It says, and Elijah the Tisbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to who? My word. Did it rain? No, sir. Not until he prayed again. 3.5 years later, he prayed. Lord, let it rain. Come on, rain. You can go in. Come on in now. Well, Brother David, I don't believe that. That's why it don't work. You got to believe. Even our what? Faith. Amen. You got to believe. Look at old Samuel. God told him to go to Jesse's house, did he not? This is after Saul had already, you know, got all in the flesh and went wrong and didn't obey God. He rebelled God. The 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. 16th chapter. He was still king according to man's eyes. God had rejected him. God looking for another man. Let's hear. There's a lot of people in the pulpit that God has rejected. Man still got him sitting there listening to him. And God's already rejected him. Come on now. See, go down to whose house? Jesse's house. And there you'll find a king. You know? What if Samuel said, Jesse's house too far. This old fella's got a bunch of sons right here, and they're some big old nice looking boys. So they'll make a king too. One man just be good as another. I'll just go to this house over here. No, but he was led by the Spirit of God, was he not? Led to Jesse's house. Of course, he got there, and after a little bit, he probably thought he was a little bit wrong. I mean, when old Eliab came in, that's the eldest. He reminded Samuel of Saul. Samuel loved Saul. He was just a nice fella, you know, big, robust, kingly-looking dude. And when old Eliab come in, he's a big fella, too, you know, come strutting in there. Old Samuel said, that's the king right there. That's going to be the next king right there. And the Lord said, no, Samuel, you're looking on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. Amen? You see, that's the problem a lot of young boys and young girls. Oh, check her out. You're looking on the outside. You better look on the inside. Oh, but she's got the shape. Shapes change. Of course, round is a shape. Huh? Young girls? Oh, man, he got muscles. He's a star. You better quit looking on the outside. You better look on the inside. Amen? What do you say over here, Sister Connie? Shapes change. I might even still have the suit that we got married in. I can't get in it, but I still got it. That polyester thing. Leisure suit, huh? Oh, help us, Lord. Woo. He goes down and Eliab, and Samuel begins to bring all of his sons through, and he's got, you know, all his sons through, and the last one, and I imagine, you know, flesh is saying, boy, you missed it today. You missed it today. I thought you said God had sit you down here to anoint a king. You know? And doubt would probably start to try to take over, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? He ain't got no more sons. That's all of them. So, well, Jesse, that's all your boys, huh? It's all of them here. I got one more little old lad down there tending the sheep. Just a little old ruddy boy. Oh, go get him. Go get him. That's him. That's the man. Amen. Old David come in, a little old teenager boy, a little ruddy boy. Come on. He's a nice looking little boy, though. I mean, he's nice looking, but the Bible says it's fair to look at, you know. About like this young man here, fair to look at. I mean, he ain't knocking nothing down, but he's fair to look at. Amen. I'm just picking at you. You know that. Amen. That's him. That's the man. And it was King David. King David. Wow. What's so important to be led by the Spirit of God? I mean, and sometimes the foolish things. I remember one night, y'all have heard this story before. Come here long enough, you hear them a few times. I only have so many. I'm a young man. I'm just barely in my 50s. I'm just barely in my 50s. Yeah, I'll be 60 July the 25th. I'm just barely in them. I'm barely holding on to them. But I remember service when I was young in the Lord, and the Lord was teaching me and Sister Connie how to listen, be led by the Spirit. And the Lord was instructing her to do something, and I forgot what it was in the service. She probably can remember, but she was sitting probably about where the Weatherfords are sitting. I was up front at the end of the service, and someone was praying and praising the Lord and music going, and I had this handkerchief, you know, wiping tears, and I just kind of pacing, you know, back and forth. I always sit up on the front. Connie always sit back there. I sit up here. And it's just, I like to be up here. I'm not distracted, you know. And so I was just pacing with this handkerchief, you know, just pacing. And all of a sudden I had this urge. I mean, it was a strong urge to take that handkerchief, you know, and just throw it down on the pulpit. I felt that was in the Spirit. I felt a leading of the Lord to do that. Just to take that handkerchief and just throw it down. I mean, what good would that do? I asked myself that too. I started to throw it down. I mean, I started to do it and I said, what good would that do? I didn't do it. On the way home, Connie got to talking to me and she says, I thought the Lord was wanting to use me in the service. I forgot what it was. And I put out a fleece. I said, Lord, you really want me to do it, tell David to throw that handkerchief down. I said, oh, my word. I said, I heard him. I heard it. And I almost did it. And then I said, what good would that do? How many has ever said that? What good would that do? I mean, in the little things. Just the little things. I could go on and on and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's just so important. I mean, it might seem dumb. It might, you know, when the Lord just moves on you and said, you need to go pray right now. You don't know, just go pray. Go do it. Well, I don't know what to pray for. Who cares? Just go pray. It'll come. I mean, Lord, you need to go to Walmart. The Lord said, okay, let's go. You know what I'm saying, don't you? He says in Psalms, in the 37th chapter, verse 23, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See, it's so important to be led, just like Samuel was led to Jesse's house. It was a particular house. He may have passed dozens or other homes that had good people in it, but he said, go to Jesse's house. And it's the same way when God speaks to people and he says, go to a certain church. Come on now. You might not believe the way they believe. I guarantee you there's people that should be sitting in these pews tonight that are not sitting here because they're hard-headed and not led by the Spirit of God. I know we preach the truth here. I don't care if it's me or Sister Connie, Brother Mike or Brother Steve or Brother Josh, ever who's up here, one of you, the truth is going to come across this pulpit. And when somebody comes to me and says, Brother David, I believe the Lord is leading me somewhere else, I'm not going to say a word to you. I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to call you. If God is leading you somewhere, who am I to stand in God's way? Now, I might not believe it. And I'll tell you right now, I just don't believe it. Not knowing where some people go, I don't believe it. I've had people leave and leave this church and be led supposedly somewhere else. And they get there and, oh, we got us a good pastor there. And find out a few months later, he's messing with little boys. Was that God? No. They just don't want to hear the truth. And lastly, in Proverbs in the 16th chapter, verse 9. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, we have our own will. God don't force himself. You choose. You choose to obey God. You devise your way. But when we step, we need the Lord to guide our steps. Say, Lord, yes, I'll go. Here, my Lord, send me. I made up my mind and my heart that I'm going to serve you. I'm going to go after you, God, and please you in my life. I'm going to walk and talk in the spirit of the Lord. And if I do that, I'll be the sons of God. Stand with us. Father.